Current Affairs.
This is Akashvani. In the weekly program Current Affairs, now we bring you a discussion on India's expanding fisheries sector. The participants are Subhash Chandra and V. Srinivas Rao, Directors, Ministry of Fisheries, Animal Husbandry and Dairying, Dr. Grinson George, Director, ICAR, Central Marine Fisheries Research Institute, Kochi, and Jitendra Kumar Sundare, Principal Scientist and Head, Division of Fish Genetics and Biotechnology, ICAR, Central Institute of Freshwater Aquaculture, Odisha. Moderator is Lakshmi Devi, Journalist.
Yesterday, the nation observed National Fish Farmer Day, commemorating a scientific milestone that transformed Indian fisheries sector. On this day in 1957 at Angul in Odisha, Dr. Hiralal Chaudhary and Dr. K.H. Alikuni successfully demonstrated induced breeding in Indian major carps through hypofixation technique. This breakthrough has propelled India to become the world's second largest fish producer, contributing 8% of global fish production. The sector has witnessed remarkable growth, government investment of ₹38,572 crores since 2015 has doubled fish production to a record 195 lakh tons in 2024-25. From those pioneering experiments in Odisha to today's blue revolution, India now leads global shrimp production and ranks second in aquaculture. We now discuss the achievements and challenges of this vital sector with our panel of experts. We have with us Dr. Grinson George, Director, Central Marine Fisheries Research Institute, ICR, from Kochi. We also have with us Jitendra Kumar Sundarai, Principal Scientist and Head, Division of Fish Genetics and Biotechnology, from Central Institute of Freshwater Aquaculture, from Odisha. We have with us Subhash Chandra, Director of Fisheries, Ministry of Fisheries, Animal Husbandry and Dairying from Delhi. Good evening, Mr. Srinivas Rao. I have a question for you. You know very well that Pradhan Mantri Matsya Sampada Yojana, launched in 2020 for 5 years, concluded last year, but has been extended for the current year. Could you elaborate how the flagship scheme has helped boost the fishery sector across the country?
Madam, this is a flagship scheme. We're having very, very good response in the fisheries sector. The total investment, whatever we have done in this through this scheme, is more than 20,000 crores. Due to this Pradhan Mantri Matsya Sampada Yojana, the fish production was increased to 195 lakh metric tons, and the exports also crossed more than 60,000 crores, and the post-harvest losses also reduced to the minimum, and the quality seed and the quality feed availability to the fishers and fish farmers was improved, and due to this very good response from the all the corners of the country, we requested for the extension of this scheme. Now the scheme is extended up to March 2026. That's what from my side. Okay. If my colleague want to add some more point.
Actually, if we see our record of Department of Fisheries, due to the intervention by Government of India for past 10 years, as Srinivasi told, that total investment of more than 38,000 crore have been made into this sector. And the results are visible basically. Now, India stands second largest fish producer country globally. And if you talk about the inland capture fisheries, in global, it's the first ranker basically. So we stand first in globally for the inland fisheries, and also in aquaculture, the second position in the world. And the shrimp is also shown very good results. Our country stands second largest country globally for the shrimp producing country.
Mr. Chandra, while the government schemes in the fisheries sector, especially PMSSY, are performing fantastically, but the coverage area remains limited. What strategy would you recommend to scale up the benefits of the schemes to reach a larger geographical area and more beneficiaries?
Yeah, actually, this scheme covers entire part of the country. All the Union territories, starting from even Leh, Ladakh to Kanyakumari, Andaman, Nicobar, all parts of the country have covered under Pradhan Mantri Matsya Sampada Yojana. And even for the Union territories, there's 100% of funding under the Pradhan Mantri Matsya Sampada Yojana. And for the northeastern and Himalayan region, the funding is more than the inland region. So Pradhan Mantri Matsya Sampada Yojana covers entire country. And now another scheme has come up, Pradhan Mantri Matsya Kisan Samriddhi Sahi Yojana, where Department of Fishery, Government of India has launched the National Fishery Digital Platform, where all the fishermen, and stakeholders, cooperatives, FFPOs, whoever connected in the value chain, they can register themselves on the National Fishery Digital Portal, or they can take help from a Common Service Center or BLE for their registration, and they can apply for the various benefits. So we are covering various all parts of the country, and through various outreach activities, we are reaching to the last mile, basically. And we are also taking the support from various outreach mediums like DD Kisan, DD News.
Mr. Chandra, Union Minister Rajiv Ranjan Singh had launched 17 new fisheries clusters under PMMSY yesterday on the occasion of Fish Farmers Day. Could you please tell us more about these clusters and how will they contribute in the growth of fisheries sector?
Yes, basically this project is very important because the fisheries sector, we all of us know, it was unorganized sector. And starting from the production, processing, value chain, linkage of the market and value chain was very important. So Department of Fishery, the Government of India had identified, till now we have identified 34 clusters, various parts of the country, where the adjacent districts will work together there. The facilities would be, starting from the production, processing and marketing. These facilities for the particular cluster would be clubbed, and it will help to improve the productivity and reduce the post-harvest losses. Also, it will give the marketing linkages, and it will in turn help the fishermen for the good value of their products. And for example, actually, the Lakshadweep has been notified as a seaweed cluster because there are various products where the post-processing facilities and other infrastructure would be encouraged by the Department of Fisheries.
Madam, in continuation to this, I will add one more point. Other schemes like our FI team is there, and the newly launched Sahayojana scheme, and the upcoming PMMSY also. So we are focusing to motivate and sanction more components related to that clusters, so that from the starting from the seed to the market linkages, we are going to focus and develop these clusters, so that there is a lot, so potential is there across the country for such 34 types of clusters. That's why we launched and we are going to develop these clusters, madam, with our schemes.
Dr. Grinson George, Pradhan Mantri Matsya Sampada Yojana, launched in 2020 for 5 years, concluded last year, but has been extended for the current year. Could you elaborate on how this flagship scheme has helped boost the fisheries sector across the country?
Thank you. PMSSY scheme, as you elaborately mentioned, it was guiding different aspects of marine fisheries and mariculture activities also. I come from an institute which is dealing with primarily with the marine fisheries and mariculture activities like farming in the sea and fishing from the sea. So one major issue with respect to marine fisheries is the complexity of the fishing vessels which are in operation in the country. They start with one-man operated thermocol vessels to close to 60-70 people operating motorized vessels to multi-day trawlers which go to the sea for quite a number of days, up to 20-21 days. So when this complexity is, it is very difficult to monitor and do surveillance of these vessels. We are interested in knowing the sustainability of the resources. So PMSSY came with a wonderful idea of providing at least transponders to the major vessels which are going to the deeper waters, so that the safety of the fishermen can be ensured. So now the project is taking shape in a wonderful manner in different parts of the country. Second major achievement in this program is with respect to the enactment of climate resilient smart villages in different parts of the country. Each maritime state and union territories, they are suffering because of the impact of the climate change happening in this part of the world. We have issues with respect to sea level rise. We have issues with respect to the increasing temperature. We have issues with respect to the extreme events. So when all these things are happening, the coastal communities are not safe. So to ensure the safety of our coastal communities, we are trying to develop some model climate resilient villages across the coastal India. So PMSSY scheme clearly helped in developing such schemes by bringing in scientific intervention to resolve some of the challenges faced by the coastal communities in the country. Next major achievement in PMSSY scheme was when we tried to take our technologies, the farming in the sea related technologies, to the people. One such successful technology is the integrated multi-trophic aquaculture system. In this system, we are trying to grow fishes in the cages, molluscans in the rafts, and seaweeds in the rafts. When we are doing such a technology, the additional waste materials which are coming from the cages of the fishes, it can be fed by the filter feeders like the molluscans. And even when the metabolic wastes are still there in that particular location, it can be taken up by the seaweeds. We could establish demonstration at different parts of the country. Certain state fisheries department, for example, the Puducherry Fisheries Department through the BMSSY scheme is giving such a demonstration with the technical support of CMFRI. There is a major program on artificial reefs. When we have been involved in fishing activities, the fishing activities tend to create some problem for the environment. So as to conserve the resources and to ensure the sustainability of the environment, we have been supporting the government of India technically by helping in the proper deployment of artificial reefs. This create ecological succession in the area, at the same time ensuring sustainability of the fishing and related activities in the country. So there are several such initiatives. We are trying to improve the production of the seaweed also. In a country where there is a good potential, when the world is producing close to 35.5 million tons of seaweed, we are producing around only 1 lakh tons. So there is a major scope there. Honorable Prime Minister is always indicating that seaweed is a priority area and CMFRI is stepping its ways in developing such activities. Even in the crucial areas like Indo-Pak border in Kori Padala region in the Gujarat, to the places where we are bordering in Indo-Sri Lankan areas also, we are trying to divert the attention of the people from the capture fisheries to mariculture and related activities. So these are some of the achievements. As an institute, we can clearly tell that it helped us in developing the marine fisheries and mariculture in the last few years with the support of the PMSSY scheme.
Let's listen to Prime Minister Narendra Modi on Pradhan Mantri Matsya Sampada Yojana.
Fisheries sector ko majboot karne ke liye sarkar teen staron par kaam kar rahi hai. Pehla, gaon mein machli palan ko badhawa, machhuare bhai behno ko aarthik madad. Dusra, Blue Revolution scheme ke tahat naavon ka aadhunikaran aur teesra machli ke vyapar aur karobar se jude aadhunik infrastructure ka nirman.
Yeah, moving to a related development, my next question to Mr. Sundarai. In 2023 and 24, the government launched a new sub-scheme, Pradhan Mantri Matsya Kisan Samriddhi Saha Yojana or PMKSSY under PMMSY with an investment of 6,000 crore rupees. How has the traditionally unorganized fisheries sector been able to benefit, including aquaculture sector, from this scheme, particularly in accessing institutional finance and incentives across the value chain?
If you look into traditional fisheries and financial benefit out of this particular scheme, so what we have been focusing mostly on the training component and enhancing the skill of the traditional fishers. If you look into that, is apart from that, the PMSSY scheme has been helpful for the developing a cluster like ornamental and developing cluster like seed cluster. So where this institute as a major training imparter, so we have been working on how to enhance the skill for the respective sector. And if you look into this particular scheme for the traditional fisher, whether it is people from the tribals or people from the settler caste, so and the people from the mostly aspirational district, so we have been focusing through the line department to impart training on particular quality seed. And as you know, this institute has been involved in the producing quality seed like improved Rohu, Jayanti, Amrit Katla and the Sipha GI Scampi. So these three things has been the part and the parcel of the new development under the scheme which other peoples are approaching. Apart from this particular, the scheme has been helping into developing the new laboratory for the disease diagnostic which is going to the unreachable area and the last mile clients. And the new technology like recirculated aquaculture system, around 12,000 units has been given. And biofloc, the next generation aquaculture, what we call it, it's around 4,200 units of biofloc has been established. And across India, around 809 fish hatcheries and a scampi, around 5 scampi hatcheries have been established under this particular scheme. And as you know, this ornamental fisheries is playing a major role in case of livelihood and export earning. So the focus has been to develop an ornamental cluster and training them. What we have been looking into mostly for ornamental and seed production, involving mostly women into that, by which you know they can be trained properly and they can take the business into in a different perspective. As for the ornamental is concerned, we look into both front end and back end management, and this is what I have talked about is mostly under the purview of this particular scheme.
And how about pearl farming, which is picking up in Odisha, West Bengal, and even Jharkhand is also exploring in a big way to make it a hub for pearl farming. What do you have to say?
Yeah, recently, as you know, like in the pearl has been a, like, you know, demand across sector, whether it's a jewelry sector or aquaculture sector. And thanks to Government of India declaring Hazaribagh in Jharkhand as one of the pearl farming cluster. So actually what I mean, we have been conducting three training programs per year. And we are training them how to collect these mussels, how to implant the nucleus, and with a like, you know, minimum facilities. And by training here, many of the entrepreneurs, whether it's the Orissa, Jharkhand, Rajasthan, Bihar, many of the entrepreneurs are taking up this particular pearl farming. And our focus has been mostly to train them and to make them more skillful. And in addition to that, from the natural pearl, we have been focusing mostly on designer pearl or customized pearl. So that has been taking a big momentum most of the, like, you know, places in India.
We have report from Mumbai, Akashwani correspondent Bhavna Gokhale.
Fisheries play a pivotal role in the economy, food security, foreign exchange earnings and employment of the coastal population. Maharashtra is bestowed with a coastline of 720 km spread over seven coastal districts like Thane, Palghar, Mumbai City, Mumbai Suburban, Raigad, Ratnagiri and Sindhudurga along the Arabian Sea with rich marine fishery resources. There are 25 fishing zones in the seven districts with 173 fish landing centers. As per the Department of Fishery, Government of Maharashtra's report, the total marine fish production from the state during 2018-19 was 4.6 metric ton, valued at 6,298 crore rupees. The state offers huge potential for the sustainable utilization of the marine bioresources for fisheries, mariculture, coastal aquaculture and post-harvest development and exports. Maharashtra falls under the northwest coast, which contributes the highest 32.8% in the total catch during 2019-20. The Maharashtra Fishery Department has focused on expanding mariculture, with shrimp production increasing by 270% from 3.22 lakh tons in 2013-14 to 11.84 lakh tons in 2023-24. These imports contribute to the state seafood exports and overall growth in the sector. Fish production from inland fisheries and aquaculture has been remarkable growth. It increased from 2.18 lakh tons in 1950-51 to 131.33 lakh tons in 22-23. This expansion of mariculture, especially shrimp farming, is a key area of focus contributing to seafood exports. Bhavna, Akashwani, Mumbai.
So my next question is to Mr. George. Mr. George, India's fish exports are valued at 60,000 to 65,000, around that crore, primarily comprising shrimp and marine fish. Despite huge potential in the export market, hygiene standards and antimicrobial resistance, that is called AMR, in fisheries remain major concerns. What concrete steps can be taken to address these critical issues so that to further boost the India's exports?
When a particular country is interested in importing seafood, they set quality standards. Unless and until we fulfill the quality standards, it's very difficult to export to that particular country. So we are always trying to fulfill the standards as required by the country which is importing our fish. So for that, there is a set standards available. But at the same time, there are issues, like as you indicated, AMR is going to be a major issue because in different ways we have been using it. It's not because of the aquaculture industry or it is because of the activities what is happening in the sector, but because of the antibiotic residues which has been pumping into the aquatic ecosystems from different sources, including the hospitals and other sources. So when such things happen, there is a one health approach in aquaculture also. We have to deal with primarily with the type of environment in which they are living. If the aquatic environment is comparatively healthy, then it will be reflected in commodity what is coming out of that particular environment. So there are serious concerns raised by the different departments, and research and related departments also invested heavily on these activities. We have a major program from the fisheries SMD. Like, we have an institute called National Bureau of Fish Genetic Resources based at Lucknow. They are having a major program on doing surveillance with respect to AMR. So we are doing this massively since the last 5 years. There are a lot of data sets being generated. At the same time, in India, what is required is diversification. Presently, we are looking only on few commodities, and it is concentrated on few commodities, and the competition is on the higher side. When we have very less commodities and the competition is on the higher side, people try to see that they want to convert every tits and bits into money. So there can be some sort of errors happening when they are trying to do at less cost because the margin is very less. But when we have diverse form of aquaculture activities, including the mariculture activities, instead of the one or two species you have mentioned, if you have a large number of species, that is going to revolutionize the sector. For that activity, Central Marine Fisheries Research Institute, we have prioritized some of the marine species, and we have developed a breeding as well as farming protocol for 14 species of marine fishes, out of which half a dozen of the species are now in the farming. So if we promote such activities, these diversified form of aquaculture and related activities, farming food in the sea, that can help to a greater extent in bringing a sort of balance with respect to the type of competition what we face in other fishes. In addition, when we have large set of processing plants doing such wonderful export in the country, our contribution towards value addition is very less. When we are developing value-added products, the measures what we are going to do in the quality control is going to be very critical and very severe. So there is not going to be any problem with respect to the products which go out of the country in the value-added form. But at present, compared to many other countries like Thailand, where 35 to 40% of the products are value-added, seafood exported products are value-added, in Indian condition, it is hardly less than 10%. So there is a greater scope lying there. We can have value-added products from India going to different parts of the country. Another issue what we are facing with respect to our products is like people tend to bring in non-trade barriers. Like really it's not related to trade, but they say that, okay, environment has issues. So when such things are there, we should be able to absorb shocks. For example, the type of tariffs US imposed on the globe recently, that created a lot of shocks in the seafood sector, but immediately it was reversed. But at the same time, when such problems are happening, we should be able to penetrate other markets. There are a lot of other markets available globally, but we should be able to penetrate it properly. We should be knowing locally what those people want and accordingly develop our products. So we have to strategize ourselves, do research as well as value chain studies to ensure that our seafood is reaching the right destination at the best price.
So dry fish presents another significant export opportunity, but inadequate drying, packing and storage systems are limiting our potential. What infrastructure development and policy measures would you suggest to tap this market effectively?
When it comes to value addition in the form of dried fish or other things, when we worry about the cold chain infrastructure, what we are lacking in the country is like we are not using the renewable resources. For example, our sister institute, Central Institute of Fisheries Technology, it came up with solar dryers. Solar dryers are possible to a greater extent in many parts of India, in the coastal India. But in certain areas where monsoon is very heavy, still it can be used for at least 4 to 5 months very easily. Even during rainy season also, when summer monsoon are happening, now we have rainy days and in between large spells of dry days also. So when such a thing is happening, when the weather is not protecting, we should have controlled mechanisms by which we can develop value-added products. So such infrastructure development is very important. Even in the earlier mentioned discussion, we were telling about the PMSSY scheme. Government of India has invested strongly in developing infrastructure related to value chain. So this has to be augmented in a better manner. Like now, if we have developed in few areas, we want to see that this type of development is happening everywhere so that the country will be progressing in this line. Dry fish market mostly caters to a specific area. For example, we have a good market in our neighboring countries. And since Indians are living abroad, they are having a flavor for this. But it is not a really targeted market. So if there is a possibility, when we have abundance of fish happening in both farming as well as fishing, we should see that this is steadily growing. The 10% growth rate what we are achieving in the sector is because of the augmented production. But at the same time, as you said, if there are avenues for different value-added products, we should be looking into such avenues and develop infrastructure in that fashion.
Mr. Sundarai, while production continues to rise annually, we are unable to increase exports further due to hygiene and AMR issues. The government is now focusing on the ready-to-eat market in the domestic sector. What has been the progress in this segment and how promising is this strategy?
See, looking into domestic sector, there has been some movement by some of the entrepreneurs to push the shrimp, particularly, you know, the farm-grown shrimps in India for the domestic consumption. But as far as the freshwater fish is concerned, still we are like, you know, there is a scope to enhance the production. If you look into now, the production is around 3 tons per hectare. And if the way the PMSS is planning, so hopefully we should by 2030, we should be reach around somewhere 6 ton of the production. So it means we have a scope to enhance the production. To enhance the production, how the PMSS is supporting, actually, if you look into this, they have been supporting all the states to go for the modern improved aquaculture. They are supporting for the good quality seed production. They are supporting for the enhancing the water spread area, like, you know, digging new ponds. And as far as, like, you know, this diversification, what Dr. Ginson was talking about, same in, like, it's implied in the freshwater aquaculture. So we have been, now if you look into Indian freshwater aquaculture, it's mostly carp dominating, like, you know, Rohu and Katla. But you have a solid scope for regional demand. And as you know, everybody is having a capacity to buy a fresh live fish rather than going for a iced fish. I can give an example of some of the states. The live fish fetches more price than the iced fish from the neighboring state or the own state. So there is a scope for the enhancing, but how government is looking into, government has been promoting good, neat and clean market. Odisha has got one. I think Tamil Nadu has got one. So that way government, like, you know, the way it is planning, if you look into, I can prioritize one things. We should have a traceability where the fish comes from and the value chain, how it reaches the consumer. And the point is, again, you should have a clean, neat market by which a vendor, sorry, a client can go look for the opportunities which fish he can buy. And you should have a specific plan for promoting the fish where this is having a regional demand.
Here we have another report from Kolkata by Akashwani correspondent Kalyan Laha.
West Bengal is a leading state for fish production. Many latest technologies are being used for fish cultivation, including drones. The director of the ICAR Central Inland Fisheries Research Institute, Barakpur of Kolkata, Dr. Basanta Kumar Das, informed as per 2022-23 statistics, total 18 lakhs ton fish produced in West Bengal, including 16.5 lakhs ton freshwater fish. Research is going on to increase hilsha production in the state. There is a plan to cultivate hilsha in ponds. River ranching is also an important part. As per latest data, 1.5 crore fingerlings released into River Ganga. Kalyan Laha, Akashvani News, Kolkata.
Mr. Sundar, you also come from Odisha. You know, these days the cage culture is picking up, and especially in abandoned mine pits. What's been the progress in Odisha and other mining areas? Is it a promising, you know, strategy to use such pits for fish farming?
Actually, no, cages has been, you know, part of, like, you know, Orissa's in fisheries and aquaculture growth. Hirakud Dam has been, like, you know, one of the prominent place where the zonation has been done. And it has been assigned to the respective, like, you know, vendors, those are growing. As far as the mine pit is concerned, it's a welcome step, but we need to have a one checkpoint. We don't know, like, you know, what type of mine pit is government looking for. Whether you have a, like, some sorts of contaminants, some of the metals. So again, you know, I will emphasize on the, whether it is a mine pits or coal pits, we need to look into the traceability and the quality of the product is coming out of that. But definitely this is the alternative mode to utilize the resources which has been abandoned.
Yeah, that's a good idea, Mr. George, you know, what you suggested, you know, these are the new things that the scheme, if it is revised, should factor in. Yeah, with these insights, thank you for joining with us.
Thank you, madam. Yeah.
Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on India's expanding fisheries sector. The participants were Subhash Chandra and B. Srinivasa Rao, Directors, Ministry of Fisheries, Animal Husbandry and Dairying, Dr. Grinson George, Director, ICAR, Central Marine Fisheries Research Institute, Kochi, and Jitendra Kumar Sundare, Principal Scientist and Head, Division of Fish Genetics and Biotechnology, ICAR, Central Institute of Freshwater Aquaculture, Odisha. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about the program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044.
Current Affairs.